It's Central Division. We're recording. David's taking his tie off. What's up?
It's serious. It's Friday evening. We have a new cadence. Is that cadence?
You know, we couldn't take the synthetic church bell extravaganza. Plus, this clears us up to, you know, watch football.
I can 100% watch Red Zone and not pretend I'm being distracted to for the needs of our listeners, which are intense and meaningful.
I don't mean to be mean, but do you see any Vikings Red Zone things happening when you're watching? Do they ever come on there?
I'd rather when they don't, because then I get, it's funny. It's like, have you ever had a situation where you thought you were not going to watch how something turned out and just look up what happened the following day because you couldn't handle the intensity of it?
Yeah, of course.
Not really a good feeling. what's it like being in California? I know it's a strange year, but when you moved out there for the holidays, was that a shift because you're used to certain things? I think I remember one of the funniest things that was ever on a continuous lane was a photo of you and your mother at the
Rockefeller Center.
And I think you were wearing a barber jacket. You were about an extra small, everything. And you said, and it said, mother and I, something enjoying the sights. And I enjoyed that a great deal. But now you're out west.
I think I've archived that post to share me the spam. Well, if I haven't, I certainly will before this airs. It's different, you know. It's in one sense, like I had a call this morning with a woman in New York, and we were talking and New York versus LA, and I was saying, you know, it's like 60 something degrees. It's sunny. I'm wearing shorts. I'm standing outside. It's great. You know, it's wonderful. The one thing I really miss about New York or just the East Coast is, especially around the holidays, are all the like holiday lunches you would have.
Oh, nice.
And that's the thing that, you know, sort of we don't, I mean, certainly this year we're not doing it, but in typical years, like it's not a thing here. Actually, last year we had a lunch. I invited like 25 people to lunch. All of my friends from like various and some, everyone I was friends with, I have a rule with friendships where it's like, if I haven't been in your living room, I don't think we're good friends. That's sort of to me.
Why didn't you use that on a rule episode? That's amazing stuff. You're keeping this material.
That's a good one. Yeah.
Something I would say. So you did.
I think I wanted to say it, but I couldn't get it in with all your rules. But we had a 25 person lunch last year, and it was so much fun. And I'm like, everyone got to meet each other, and I'm like, you know, hopefully, you know, networking people, and it was great. And that was, I hope to do that again next year. And that's like the one thing I miss, you know, not being cold weather, you know, real holiday spirit kind of thing. It's different here.
It's funny. One thing that I like about New York in the holidays is that it's unusual in the sense that you can kind of assert your connection to the city and being an adult in a way. And so it's a little bit what you're saying, like you can have a serious lunch and say like, let's do this. Let's celebrate us being here and our friendship and spending way too much for lunch and like maybe being a little buzz afterward. And that's a nice thing to whatever it is, go to 21 or La Bernardin, things you wouldn't normally do. And in a weird way, that's totally connected to the idea of gifts and presents and things we do for friends or with someone else that we wouldn't do for the rest of the year in a way, because it either slips away or we're not feeling indulgent or whatever it is. And I think those are important things to do, whether it's having a drink at the woman's bar and you're like, I think I love this, but maybe I don't, or I want to love it. And it's a $23 for a cocktail, but
you still
have to do it sometimes.
And I think you said it, it's like that little, it's a little self-indulgent and it feels acceptable and right that time of year.
Right.
And you just wouldn't do it otherwise or rarely, you know, unless you're like, you have something to celebrate.
Well, it also connects you to New York, just speaking from the East Coast point of view, in a different way. Like, I don't spend a lot of time looking in the windows of Saks or RIP Barney's or kind of RIP Bergdorf's or all these places. But I like walking down Fifth Avenue or even looking at, like, their lights outside Cartier, and it just, it, you feel, in a weird way, you feel connected to the city in a way that you don't as a resident. It's almost like you're visiting from Paris or whatever, Buenos Aires. And it's kind of nice to, like, be in outside the city and enjoy it that way.
I love that, you know, the Cartier holiday decoration, the bow that they put on the building. And it's true. It does make you feel, it kind of makes you feel like you're in a movie. You know, there's so many movies, you know, you make, you know, you're at the Plaza. It's like Home Alone. Or no, wait, sorry. Home Alone.
I don't know. I thought that was in Chicago. I'm not sure. Oh, they went to Europe? I don't know.
I don't know. I feel like he gets abandoned. We'll have to watch it. Anyway, I only watch The Christmas Story, you know, because it's a Cleveland movie.
Is that where that takes place? Because I'm going to tell us something that I'm sure our listeners are probably not that surprised. I've never seen Christmas Story, and I've never seen Home Alone. Not out of principle, not being a snob. It just never happened. And then I didn't know when I could go back in. I never saw The Exorcist, and now I'm trying to see that. But my girlfriend says it's too scary. I'm like, well, I'm getting pretty scared. Maybe we can get through. I missed everything. I missed out on everything. It's over for me.
Well, a couple things there. I don't, you know. A Christmas Story takes place in Indiana, but they filmed it in Cleveland, and the house is still there. If you ever watch, like, there's ever any,
nobody knows that who doesn't live in Indiana or Cleveland, which is amazing.
No, I mean, if you've watched, like, Monday Night Football or, like, Sunday Night Football, and they're, and the Browns happen to be on there and it's in Cleveland, they'll show the house. It's always in, like, those NFL. That's like all we, that's all we got, baby. Yeah, I had another point, but
I'd never seen any of these movies.
Oh, yeah.
Make fun of me.
Well, the movie companies are so smart with the Christmas movies because they're not streamable anywhere. Right. So, like, if you want it, you got to rent it. And I've, like, just A Wonderful Life, Christmas Story. There's a few I like, and I'll watch, like, once a year. And I just bit the bullet and I bought, you know, the four or five of them.
So is it time to start now with, when you have children, like, is that, let me just ask, well, is there an elf on the shelf?
Is there what? Elf on the shelf?
Is there an elf on any shelf over there?
We don't have any elves on shelves. I don't think we're there yet. We probably will be there. A lot of this stuff is like, it's like Frozen. You can't avoid it. You know, Baby Shark. It's like I always said, like, we're not going to play that game. Once you have little, you know, mini David Coggins is running around, you'll cringe, you know, because all this stuff will be introduced through osmosis, sure. other people and whatever. You know, the thing I was going to say about The Exorcist is I don't ever watch. Don't do psychedelic things on psychedelic substances. Right. So that's another rule that I neglected. But. Don't watch scary movies in scary environments. Like, throw the lights on. You know, it's like,
totally.
Don't make it extra creepy. Don't double down on that.
Did you have a memorable? I mean, the most scared I've ever been, I think, film related. Again, I'm not a. Is that? I think it was senior year of college is when Scream came out. I can't be sure. I want to say 96, 97. And so we were anticipating it, and you have to imagine at the time. It was highly promoted. It was supposed to be a comedy, but scary. And so we went on a Friday, the day it came out, to the theater, matinee. It was more Halloween than Christmas, but who cares? So we went, and the first scene of that film is, of course, Drew Barrymore. No one was ready for it. It was kind of before the internet. And I was terrified, called my friend, who is pretty intense guy, and said if that scene had lasted any longer, he would have just started to cry in the theater. I mean, people were shocked. I mean, we're all there laughing. It's a Friday. We're seniors. We're feeling like we're doing pretty well for ourselves. And that, like, and Scream just completely destroyed us. And you have to imagine, and you remember what it was like seeing that for the first time, not being prepared for any of that. And that just doesn't exist anymore. Like, there can't be secrets like that for the most part. And it was, and that was very effective. And I haven't seen a scary movie since.
You know, someone, I don't know if this got DM'd to me or where this was left, but someone said, I just can't imagine David Coggins watching The Mandalorian. They said that to me.
That's funny that it's taking up your time and that they're thinking about it. They can DM me and say, like, why are you brought in?
No, but
just because you can feel the same feeling.
I have these other Q&A sessions where we only talk about you. on the whole session. They'll be like, what's up with David and his rules and Brown?
Is my girlfriend on? Because she might have some questions for you that she can
They call
ask.
Her your life partner.
LP. I always thought, is that what LP stands for? There's EP, there's extended play, there's LP is long partner. I think we're going to talk generally about gifts, but traditions and holidays. And I'm into it, man. I am all for like associations. I think, isn't that what we're kind of talking about in a way? It's like,
absolutely,
how we, these things we have that we grew up with, and that you don't question them because they're so familiar to you. And then when you try to start new ones, then it seems a little bit like you're creating these things, and you a little bit have to have faith that you can create them for your children or for your whatever the situation is, and or that you're going to start making mulled wine, for goodness sake, which seems absurd, but it seems absurd for everybody until they do it. I mean, is there something you do in your household that you're like, well, if it means Christmas, it means this? Maybe it's watching the movie we talked about. Is there anything about like eating or drinking or Charlie Brown or some book that you read, or is there something like that that kind of means that the holidays are here?
I mean, our family's a little young. The traditions maybe and rituals, whatever, that I have with my immediate family, you know, it's hard to sort of maintain that. And I think these things are things that you need to make a point to say, we're going to do this every year. If it's like get in your pajamas and drive around and look at Christmas lights or something, you know, it's like,
I love it.
Whatever that is. You know, I think our only thing, which doesn't really count, is we banned the song Santa Baby from being played outside of like very close, you know, outside of like the holiday season, because my daughter just wants to hear it all year round. And so we had to say like, oh, we can only listen to that. Like we retire it in January. So that, I think that's kind of where we're at. But, you know, I'm dealing with a 3-year-old. So
remind me, Santa Baby, for those of us who don't, I mean, I'm spending my time watching The Mandalorian and Scream. I don't have time for Santa Baby. It's Santa. It must like get her revved up for like gifts and
no, I just and, I just think she really likes it. I mean, it's much more palatable than Baby Shark or anything, you know, some of the terrible songs.
It's so funny because half of the people listening know exactly what you're talking about, and the other half maybe are afraid of what you're talking about.
You don't want to know. You don't want to know about that stuff.
Can I just say one thing? When did it become a situation where people started using gift as a verb, right? Like I gifted this, or I was gift. My theory was that it had to do with PR. And if you were gifted it, it had to do with, there was some kind of professional way. Like a friend doesn't gift something to you, but a company might gift something to you.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, I cannot stand it. And I'd really like it to stop. You're given something. You give something and you are given it. You are not gifted it.
I think it's, yeah, I think gift, it probably is like a professional sense, but I think re-gifted.
Oh, well, that's different though.
But I think that was the sort of, I think that's how the word gift then got manipulated.
I'm not against the re-gift. If people will use it.
If I gave
something to someone that made more sense for someone else, and they could tell me that, I would accept that. What's a good? I thought of you as being a good gift giver when you were in New York, and it wasn't just because you were in publicity. You were. I got a few gifts from you and a few nice bottles. I appreciated that.
I think of giving gifts. I was going to say gifting, but I don't want to say
thank
that.
You.
I think of that along the lines of in the same way I think about creativity. Mm. A lot of it's a function of time thinking about it, right? Or working on it, whatever. I think it's, unless you are just very, you know, you're easily thoughtful, you know, or just you can think of the right thing very quickly. You know, I was going to say if you're the LeBron James of giving gifts, you know,
you hand them from a very tall height. You set them down.
Hand them down. They come with $85 million. You've been listening to a free preview of Central Division, a podcast and newsletter between David Coggins and Michael Williams. To access all of our podcasts and all of our newsletters, visit centraldivision.substack.com. Thank you.